offspring. Turn in your Bibles today, the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. Let me say while you're turning, I certainly am very thankful to God for the good mother that I had, and actually my second mother, my mother-in-law. And as Carol just shared, her comments were certainly accurate in terms of even the quality of the mother that my wife had, who's now in glory. But Proverbs chapter 31, let me begin reading. I want to just take the privilege this morning, the liberty, to read just one verse in this chapter, great chapter. Proverbs 31 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him." Note this, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Shall we bow for just a moment of prayer? Father, thank you today for the good service that we've already enjoyed. Thank you for the music today that touched a chord in our hearts as we have been reminded of the grace and goodness of the Lord. We've been reminded of the quality of good mothers. And we thank you today, Father, for the blessings of being here, of honoring the mothers today in this, even what we consider to be a feeble way. But how thankful we are today for each one that wears that blessed title, Mother. So, Father, now bless the message, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Could I begin today by simply saying this, that the only adequate provision to fulfill any role in life is a provision through the finished work of Jesus Christ. I want to say even up front today that in this world in which we're living, with all of the issues going on and the sin that's rampant, if there's ever been a time that families, that homes, that parents, that fathers, that mothers need the grace of God and need the leadership of the Lord, it's now. So in any effort or intention that we would have to bring any kind of a message relative to Mother's Day, and that's exactly what I would like to do, I will again mention the fact that if you're here this morning and have never placed your trust in Christ's finished work, salvation is critical, and the provision of God is critical in order to function properly in any God-given role, and especially today as we focus on the fact of motherhood. Today I want to just be very practical, if I can. I would like to share the thought today, things my mother taught me. Just a simple thought, things my mother taught me. Again, thank you, mothers, for being here today. And thank you for the strategic and all critical role that you have when it comes to the matter of the family and the home. Proverbs chapter 31 is generally regarded as a Mother's Day text. And interestingly enough, it has 31 verses. You've heard the old poem years ago, 30 days has September, April, June, and November, and you know the rest of that. Imagine this, the 31st chapter of the book of Proverbs. Imagine this as a Mother's Day chapter of the Bible with a Mother's Day verse for every month. The book of Proverbs begins with the words from the Father. The words from the Father. And it ends with the words from the mother. In Proverbs 1:8, the passage reads, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father." The father said, "My son." We come to Proverbs chapter 31 and verse number 2, and the mother here says, "My son." It would seem that King Lemuel was none other than Solomon himself. The prophecy, the word prophecy is used in this particular verse, would perhaps be translated oracle or burden. Solomon's mother basically had a burden for him. His mother was Bathsheba. Her burden was no doubt that Solomon would not repeat her mistake. And of course, as we read scriptures, we are introduced to her mistakes. You remember the account. Now in Proverbs chapter 31, as we look at this chapter collectively, the lessons that Solomon's mother would teach him would include the following. Verse number 10, that model women are rare. Model women are rare, price above rubies. Verses 11 and 12. Model women are reassuring. They're reassuring. Their love can be trusted. And then thirdly, model women are resourceful. Verses 13 through 15, I'm simply referencing those verses without taking the time to read them today for time's sake. But model women are resourceful. Then model women are responsive, verse number 20. And then model women are respected, verse number 25. Now it's impossible to have a Mother's Day service without reflecting upon our own mother. And pardon me today for being so personal, but I would like to do that in a few moments as time would permit today. Could I mention this? I was blessed to have a mother with a good balance. My mother had a balance between seriousness and humor, and that certainly was also true of my mother-in-law. I regard my mother-in-law with the same respect and love and appreciation as my own mother. She was such a blessing to my heart. But appreciated the balance that I saw when it came to my mother as I'm thinking about her this morning. My mom taught me many things, including some new words with mountain flavor. For example, if you're curious to know what I'm talking about, my mother taught me what the word pertinere means. Pertinere. You know what that means in West Virginia terminology? It means almost. Pertinere, almost. My mother taught me what the word paralyzed means. We'd mess up in the home and Mom would threaten to spank us. It seemed like she did most of the discipline in our home. She would threaten to spank us, and the famous words that Mom used was, "I'm going to paralyze you." The word paralyze meant a spanking is coming. Mom taught me not to take myself too serious. I remember many humorous things in reference to my mother. She's now been in heaven many years. She actually went to heaven on Mother's Day. I remember one time in particular, my mother was a very humorous person. We were, I'm trying to think where we were. I think we may have been in Nashville, visiting there in Nashville. And it was pouring down the rain. And my mother got out of the car with an umbrella and never put the umbrella up. The umbrella was folded. She comes walking through the rain. The rain is pouring down. And all she's doing is holding the umbrella. Hasn't even been. And we laughed about that. When my mother got older, she used to complain about being old. She was always wondering why God left her here. Sometimes she'd say, "Somebody ought to just knock me in the head. What purpose do I have?" My mother taught me also the lack of significance in an airbag. Well, let me tell you about this. My brother had purchased a new car. My mom was riding with him. My brother noticed this little odd-looking shape there on the dash, and she asked my brother, "What is that?" My brother said, "That's an airbag." My mom replied, "Well, why in the world did you get a car with an airbag?" She said, "You didn't use the one on the last car." You know, mothers have their own definition, dictionary definition. You know what dumbwaiter means? One who asks if the kids would care to order dessert. That's a dumb waiter. You know what feedback is? Feedback is the inevitable result when the baby doesn't appreciate the strained carrots. Full name. You know what full name is? That's what you call a child when you're really mad. Really mad. Full name. No nickname. Full name. Then also, grandparents, that's the people. Now here's a good one. That's the people who think your children are wonderful, even though they're sure you're not raising them right. They still think you're wonderful. They're wonderful. You know what puddle is? Well, puddle's a small body of water that draws other small bodies wearing dry shoes in it. It's a puddle. Show off. Show off. Definition. That's a child who's more talented than yours. Show off. 2-minute warning. That's when the baby's face turns red and she begins to make those familiar grunting sounds. 2-minute warning. Now, if I can transition to more of a sober thought today, we understand that Mother's Day, in spite of the great day and occasion that it is, in spite of the opportunities that a church has to show in its feeble way its appreciation of motherhood, we know that Mother's Day can carry with it a little bit of sadness too. For example, some may recently have lost your mother, and our hearts go out to you. Not every home, in spite of what we say, not every home is like the Cleavers or the Brady Bunch, or Father's Knows Best, or Ozzie and Harriet of the Nelson family. Christian homes and good parents, it seems, are becoming increasingly rare. A good mother is a precious person with a priority calling. God doesn't just simply bless you with motherhood, then leave you to hang out to dry. I'm glad today that I can say this, where the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Yes, that does apply to being a mother. But I'll tell you, the most important thing in life is to know, moms, there's been a place in your life where you've come to the cross by faith as a trembling sinner and recognize the fact that Jesus Christ paid your sin debt in full. And you placed your trust in Him. You asked Him into your heart to be your Savior. You were saved by the grace of God. I'll tell you, the only adequate resources that you can have is resources provided through salvation. I reflect upon my own mother today, who actually went home to heaven on Mother's Day. I can remember I had just flown in on leave from Iraq and got straight home and hadn't even had time, didn't even have an opportunity to sleep in my own bed the first night home. Drove straight to Lynchburg, Virginia. And it wasn't long thereafter till my mother slipped into the presence of the Lord. That happened on Mother's Day. I look back upon my home, and while I have to stand here and tell you today that I was not raised in a Christian home in my early years, to my knowledge, my parents, I don't even remember actually even being taken to church. But later on in life, both of my parents got saved and served God the latter years of their life. But when I look back upon my home life, and particularly my mother, there are some things that my mom taught me that I will be forever grateful for. Some things my mother taught me. Could I just pass them on to you today? Salvation is a number one thing. Now, of course, that was not emphasized when I was a child, but later on my mother got it when she got saved. I can tell you though, she did teach that lesson to me in the latter years of her life. How do I know that? Well, I know this. I know she grieved when I was in sin. And I know that she rejoiced the night that I came home from church as a saved person. I know that. I can remember her tears of joy when I came home that night and I said, Mom, God save me tonight. And I was saved under the ministry of Brother Bill Gindelsperger, 1968, month of November. And I'd lived in sin, I was 21 years of age. And Mom knew the heartache, the heartbreak, the distress of having a son that was living in sin. But how God's grace and goodness turn things around in our life, and I give God the total praise for that. She taught me that salvation is the number one thing. And I want to say to you today, in this pluralistic religious world that we're living in, and there's churches everywhere, there is still no substitute today to coming to the cross as a sinner, being saved by God's grace, and knowing today that you passed from death into life. There's no substitute for a Bible salvation based upon the work of Jesus Christ. But my mom taught me that salvation is the number one thing. My mom taught me respect, to not fear working, to appreciate simple things in life. She taught me that a good sense of humor even goes a long way in oiling the machinery of life. My mom showed me what a real mother was. She lived and loved in such a way, I sure do miss her now. My mom taught me that marriage is serious, and life commitment, in spite of tough times, is still the right discipline to have. Mom never had any money. I come from a poor family. She never had any money. She never had any prestige. She never had notoriety. But she did manage to raise 8 kids and loved all of them. And they knew where to find her when they needed her. The thing that amazes me about my mother was in the large family that we had, I had 7 siblings. Mom still loved each of her kids equally. And I appreciate that about her. She taught love. Mom taught me you don't have to have a bunch of things to be happy. It's home, it's family, it's love that counts. I read the comments recently of a business lady who had lost her mother. And here's what she said. She said, "My mom was my greatest champion. An endless supporter." She said, "My mom was my biggest fan, my best friend. We didn't have luxuries like the other kids had, but we always had a firm foundation. She instilled in me the priceless moral compass that I came back to every day to guide my decisions. She taught me one lesson that I will never forget. It was 2005. It was Thanksgiving Day. She said, we waited for Mother to come home to be with us on Thanksgiving Day. But she said, Mom never made it. My mother was killed in a fatal car accident. On her way home, she was just months from being 51 years of age. The loss of my mother was the hardest thing I've ever had to deal with. My mom was a firm believer in the fact that everything happens for a reason. I attempted to make some sense of it and to find a reason in the midst of all of my grief. And one of the big lessons that I took away from that was this. My mother was unintentionally teaching me that life is short. Don't put off until tomorrow what your heart is telling you to do today. And you know, we often live today just like it's another day. We take it for granted. We live like we're going to live forever. But my friend, I look out across this congregation here today, and I can tell you there's a few people's faces missing that were here last Mother's Day. And I can tell you this, in my own family, within the course of 1 week, we buried a brother-in-law and a nephew in my own family. And this church knows what I'm talking about today. If there's any lesson we need to learn out of the many lessons that we need to learn, it's the fact that life is like a vapor. It appears for a little while and then vanisheth away. And then Moses said, we spend our years as a tale that is told. So I'm saying today, oh, how conscious we need to be of time. We need to know today where we stand. We need to know today that we're saved, moms. We need to know today, Christian, that we're living for God. Because life is short, time is running out. And we'll, as a Christian, be standing in the presence of the Lord sooner than we realize. And yes, at some point in time, at the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, how we need to buy up the time and serve God faithfully. Well, so a good question today is, where do you stand? Now, let me close with this thought today. Back there several years ago, Carol sent me a note. And she reminded me of the fact it was my mother's birth. It would have been my mother's birthday. And that was several years ago. That was when my mother, I think, would have been about 95 years of age. And I sit down and put together on paper a few thoughts in reference to my mom. And please, bear with me. Let me just share this with you today as we close, this being Mother's Day. Let me tell you some personal things that we said about, that I said about my mom. Here's what I wrote. I would say in a general way that I miss her love, her humor, her candidness, and lifelong mother's heart. She gave birth to 8 children but loved us all individually. She was always candid enough to never make you wonder if she was mad or not. She spoke her piece, whether we liked it or not, but she always assured us that she had our back at the end of the day. I found myself missing even more Mom's candidness at a time when political correctness rules and honesty is treated as rudeness, crudeness, or offensiveness. I miss my mom's humor. I miss her homespun statements, pronunciations, and quick wit. I miss my mom's old-fashioned approach in child-rearing. She feared spoiling the child if she spared the rod. She gave it to us, quote-unquote, when we had it coming to us. Mom didn't practice the modern time-out or your grounded approach in discipline. We weren't grounded, we were pounded. It would have been hard for her to ground us anyway when we didn't even own a car. And Brother Martin's always appreciated me telling this. The first car we had didn't have a motor in it. And I retraced my childhood. I went down memory trail here recently and went back to Fayette County, West Virginia, just to kind of visit that little area where I was born. And yes, it was. I marked it off. I actually did compute it. It was a 4-mile drift from Lookout to Wyona, West Virginia. And my brother and my dad, first car we ever had, didn't have a motor in it. And they drifted that entire 4 miles down into that bottom. And my dad did look over at my brother and said, "Well, son, it does have good brakes." It was one of those old Model Ts. And we pulled that thing up. I lived up in a place called Smokeless Hollow. I don't know how my dad got the car up the hollow, but he did somehow. And the car sit out front, had that old rumble seat in it. If I had that thing today, I'd be living in tall cotton. I'd go out as a kid, sit in that car, carry a picnic lunch like I was going somewhere. I'd sit there turning that wheel, and to my knowledge, It never run. But I thought I was going somewhere. I had a time, but I remember that. But now let me get back to what I was telling you, the more important thing here. She couldn't say time out. She couldn't say you're grounded because we didn't have those things. She couldn't take away the TV, the computer, the cell phone because we didn't have any. There were none. She knew that sending us to the room wouldn't work. Several of us kids slept in the same room. She whipped us, sent us outside, and said, "Don't come back in until you straighten up." Today's moms, like my mom, will be attending anger management classes, or better still, a class in what to do to get out of jail. I not only miss my mom's style of discipline, but I miss a society where the family was a basic social foundation of the society. I miss a society where a home consisted of a mom and a dad. I miss a society where moms and dads stayed together in marriage and took serious the vow, "Till death us do part." My mom and dad lived through tough times. Dad worked like a dog to feed the family. Mom raised 8 kids, cooked and called us all to the table at one time. This is now rare, isn't it? Mom and Daddy had their disagreements and even fights. But I venture to say they didn't accidentally celebrate over 50 years of marriage either. Today, I miss going home and knowing that my visit was treated special. I miss a welcome that included spending the night in what Mom considered still my bedroom. I miss Mom's homemade soup, pot of cabbage, apple cake and ice cream that she made sure the kids picked up. For me, before I got there, that Mom could provide when I was there. I miss our going out to eat and her occasional trip down with me to stay a few days. She'd come down and spend a few days with Carol and myself. I miss those times when she'd go with Carol and me on vacation. She never got over telling about meeting little Jimmy Dickens. She loved little Jimmy Dickens. I miss driving to see her on Christmas Eve and her childish excitement in opening her 12 days of Christmas gifts. Yes, I miss Mom today and realize now more than ever that those days were more precious than I had sense enough to realize. I used to take it for granted that a simple phone call to Mom or a card or a visit. I never really was able to understand that Mom's later days found her a lonely widow. A simple, "I love you, Mom," meant more to her than I then realized. We will all eventually, if God permits, find that life's accomplishments, degrees, and medals are poor substitute for family and friends. Families especially need to honor, love, and cherish time together. Why? Life will soon enough usher us into a world of precious memories. Thank God for precious memories. Memories of precious loved ones takes us back to when we walk together and talk together. The remembrance of their voices. And love is precious. But what we wouldn't give to hear them say again, "How are you? When are you coming in again?" Well, today, I'll say happy birthday or happy Mother's Day, Mom. I love you. I miss you. I'm encouraged by the fact that I knew that I know where you are and know that there are no lonely days there. I spend, remember the night you wept when I came home from church and told you I was saved. Because of that fact, I can say, I'll be coming home soon and I love you, Mom, on Mother's Day. I'm just simply saying to all of us today, this day is special. And we love and appreciate all of you moms that are here today. But let me ask you in closing, do you have the most precious thing that life could ever offer, namely salvation through the risen Lord? Do you know today that you're Christian? Are you able today to tap in onto the resources that God can help you to be a good mother, to have the patience, to have the love, to know the proper discipline, to know, do you honor and respect the best marriage manual possible? God's precious word. If society does anything, it's becoming more complicated. And how we need to get back to God, get back to the Bible, get back to the basics, and realize today that there's still no substitute for a home that's built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, where the Bible is still honored as the Word of God, and families pray together and serve God together. That's what it's all about. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.